We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, if you're a wrestling fan, you know who's coming up then, I guess. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh.
You on the phone?
Not yet.
You on the phone? I got excited. You know, when you played the music, I thought he was on the phone. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I ain't say no names.
Well, you can. I mean, every wrestling fan knows, right? The intro music.
Hey, you know you can't tell me nothing.
Or play themes.
You know what? Remember like on the devil in a blue dress? If you ain't want him dead, why you leave with me? Y'all don't remember that movie, Devil in a Blue Dress. That was
a great
movie.
I own it.
With Don Cheadle?
Yes.
When he was the cousin from down south, trying to kill everybody.
With the lack or that big old drop top?
Yeah. If you ain't want him dead, why you leave with me?
We're going to be talking in a moment to Ric Flair, who's going to have his 70th birthday be celebrated. We talk about all the events in Atlanta that are going on. In terms of, like, the Legends playing their first game Sunday. It is race weekend, qualifying tonight. The Rinnai 250 and the Ultimate Tailgating 200 tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Motor Speedway. The big race, the Folds of Honor 500, Sunday at 2 at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Everything else is going on in town. Well, we also should add to that WWE Raw on Monday night. I tell you, Atlanta's done a great job. And State Farm Arena and the old Phillips Arena, you have done a great job of hosting WWE Raw. And, you know, in my days at CNN, we would go downstairs and, boy, they would be the number of trucks, Hugh, they bring in for WWE Raw. And the trucks, by the way, the trucks are so cool to look at because of the paint job on them. I mean, they just are just gorgeous trucks. But, I mean, dude, they have like 40 trucks.
The monster trucks.
You know, just huge haulers, you know.
Yeah, you have to because in some of those trucks, I would venture to think, John, that they can't. You can't put them on like regular flatbeds. You have to kind of break them down a little bit. Mm-hmm. You got to take them apart a little bit and put them back together because of the suspensions and everything and the big old tires.
An overstatement, but they had a ton, right? I mean, they have so much stuff because the sets are – it's a set. It's not a ring, right?
What are you talking about? The monster truck?
No.
WWE. Oh, you're talking about the wait a minute. What were we just talking about, cars? Wait a minute. My mind's all – yeah, but all of that stuff you got to break down. The WWE, you definitely have to break all that other stuff. For whatever reason, I was thinking about Gravedigger and the monster trucks. That's what I was thinking about. But, yeah, they break those sets down and bring them with them.
Right.
But what I do recall from WWE is that I guess the wrestlers take care of their individual flights and they fly into the cities because I remember a couple of times going backstage to certain WWE events and right after the wrestlers' matches are done, they just leave and go to the next city. They catch the next flight out if there is a flight out and go to the next city.
They're not hanging around once they're done. Yeah, so because it's such a production. This is one of the things that I appreciate. Even though I've admitted on the show that I'm not the expert at WWE, obviously, but I appreciate the stuff that they go through in terms of the event that they put on.
No, it's a grind. It's no question about that. It's a grind. It's definitely a grind.
And, of course, the Flair name is going to continue. Charlotte was – I saw Charlotte at the Super Bowl. She was walking around doing interviews down there. And, of course, you know, she's become a big star in her own right. And that's the next thing that I've been really, really impressed with is the growth of women in the event. All right, now we can do it again because he's got to enter the ring or enter the show. Ric Flair's got to come on with us. Morning to you, birthday boy, because I saw the T-shirt there, Rick, on your Twitter. Well, happy birthday to you.
Thank you. How are you?
Good.
Pretty good, pretty good. So what does the Nature Boy do for his 70th birthday?
God, I have no idea. Think back to the day that a guy told me when I was 24, I'm going to be 30 if you overstay my welcome. That's the first thought that comes to mind.
Well, it is going to be kind of a throwback day, and you can see the Birthday Boy t-shirt on his Twitter, at Ric Flair Nature Boy, but nature is spelled N-A-T-R, at Ric Flair N-A-T-R Boy, for the 70th birthday, which is going to be celebrated Monday at State Farm Arena during WWE Raw. Do you have any idea what they're going to do, Rick?
I have not heard a word. They're probably still talking about it right now. I haven't heard a word, but it'll be fun. Just going down there and, you know, to see the guys and be around them. And, you know, on the road to WrestleMania, it's a great day for me, period. Even if I wasn't there, even if I weren't going to be on the show, I would go down to visit everybody. So I really enjoy this time of the year.
Do you look back?
It's our Super Bowl.
Yeah, no doubt about that. But do you look back and say, wow, when you look at how wrestling has grown and how popular it is, do you look back and think to yourself, man, I was on the ground where it says, I helped build the foundation for that. How does that make you feel when you know that you were a part of that?
Well, I don't dwell on that by any means. I'm aware of it because I, you know, gosh, in 2022, it'll be 50 years I've been in the business or around it. So I've just seen it grow, and I look back on all the great times I had and never looked at wrestling. Maybe 1 month out of my whole career was at work for me. Does that make sense? I just couldn't wait to be part of it. I was sad if I was, you know, someone was trying to phase me out because I'd gotten older or whatever. You know, there's different things that go on in any business or sport. But I have nothing but great memories, and my experience with the WWE has just been, you know, since I first worked with Vince's dad in 1976 in Madison Square Garden and actually going to work for them in 1991, I've just had just nothing but fabulous experiences and fabulous memories. So this will be another one. And to be, you know, to be relevant at 70 years of age is still pretty cool, you know what I mean, in their eyes. But I don't take it for granted.
No, and you shouldn't.
Make no mistake, I know who I am, okay?
Right, definitely.
Wear a drip, we got it, right, guys?
Mm-hmm.
definitely.
Well, and then you're, of course, very Ric Flair joining us on the WaveFord.com hotline. You're very public, you know, win that you have with your health issues. Hey, to that end, Roman Reigns is going to be, Rick, back with WWE on Monday night at State Farm Arena. It's been public about his battle with leukemia. Have you had a chance to talk to Roman? Do you know what he's going to do on Monday night?
Oh, no, I know. I just heard about Roman coming yesterday, and I haven't talked to him, but I have stayed in touch with him during the whole time, and he doesn't elaborate, but I think he's getting better. You know, I think anybody that understands the disease knows it can take a year. You know, it's the unknown, unfortunately. But I can tell you this, I was in shock. I didn't know about it, and I know Roman, of course, his dad and I ran around, you know, for years before that, before Roman got into business. So I've known their family forever, but that completely took me off guard. I was never aware of the diagnosis when he was 21. And when that night he walked out on Raw, I thought, boy, this is nobody's playing around here, because the company would never, you know, do something to get people's attention that was of, you know, in that bad a taste. So the minute he opened his mouth, I thought, what the hell? You know, and you could just tell, I know him well enough to know the expression on his face. So I'm looking forward to seeing him personally, and number two, hoping that it's good news. I texted with him, 3 weeks ago, and he said he was doing better, but what the timetable is, I don't know. But we miss him dearly. The product misses him, and the guys miss him, and, you know, he's just a great guy.
So Roman Reigns is going to make an appearance at WWE on Monday night at WWE Raw at State Farm Arena to update all of his fans and all of us about his battle with leukemia. And Ric Flair joining us to celebrate his, of course, 70th birthday. That will be another, well, that'll be the headline.
Is that not brutal? 70 years old. How can that be?
Yeah, but you look good,
I
though.
I mean,
you look good. You still got that, like you said, you got that drip. Still got that drip.
It seems like I was in Buckhead yesterday.
What were you doing in Buckhead, Rick?
I don't know. Name it. If it was possible, I was doing it. God, don't even get me going. I wasn't alone.
No, you weren't alone.
I was at Ted Turner, Rankin Smith.
Well, if you're hanging around those guys, I could get it. I could get an idea.
I can just imagine.
It's the first time I didn't have to buy the drinks.
Yep. Well, what went down at Harrison's, Rick? I could see it now. Yeah. All right. I got you, Ric Flair. Ric Flair joining us. Your daughter was here. I don't know what 5-6 months ago she was in studio with us. Saw her again at the Super Bowl. Didn't get a chance to talk to her. She was too busy. But remarkable to you the trajectory of her career and how much she has become such a star. And are you kind of marvel at that at all?
Well, I'm certainly very proud of her, but I had no doubt in my mind that she wouldn't be this good. I knew from day one, when she sets her mind to something, it's very difficult to change it. I mean, there are things that go on day to day that, the mind games and the so-called political structure of every business or sport or whatever. But she's just so damn good that even if they didn't like her, and they do, because she's totally committed to the company, totally committed to being or making herself better every day, and wanting to be such a part of this hugely successful organization, the World Wrestling Entertainment, that I knew she'd be great, and arguably she's the biggest star in the company right now. I mean, I'm only using the word arguably to be politically correct with you guys.
Right.
Yeah, we know.
We know. We get it.
We see.
Ask me privately. But no, she's huge. And if she main events WrestleMania, which looks like is very possible, keep in mind I never did.
Wow. Yeah. So,
but I didn't spend much of my career up there. I mean, I was never in her position or at that level while I was there. Number one, I was older. And when I was at that level, I co-main evented with Savage, with Hogan, and Sid Vicious. So,
Ric Flair joining us.
It'll be another step that she'll remind me she has on me.
Yeah, I'm sure she will. Yeah, hey, she is not shy. That's for sure. 16-time world champion Ric Flair, 2-time Hall of Famer, and of course, you can always follow him on his Twitter at Ric Flair NATR Boy, at Ric Flair Nature Boy, and all this cool kind of swag that you have up there for your birthday too. I mean, you've got a lot of cool T-shirts graphic T-shirts for your birthday. It's kind of nice stuff.
Oh, that's my wife's shop. My wife does all that. So I don't even look at it. What has she done now?
Oh, well, you should check your Twitter.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on with that. My wife runs that shop. It's her hobby. So nobody runs it by me. So I hope it's always good, and I hope you guys are enjoying it.
Yeah,
keep having fun with it.
Yeah, so. No, they're great T-shirts, and I'm sure you're going to be asked to sign a lot of them come Monday night, and a lot of people looking forward to WWE Raw and your celebration as you get back to this, Rick. And we're all thankful that you're doing so well. Do you have any plans here in the future, too? Because I know you've been with the Falcons in the past and giving them kind of pep talks. I know that that's been a part of your, kind of like side thing to do, is to go out to Flowery Branch and give the, because I've seen you out there, geez, probably 5 or 6 times, it seems. Any plans to possibly go out there again this year?
They asked me. It's funny. I didn't hear from Dan and those guys this year. I think probably because they thought I might not be up to it physically. But I've had the second operation, and I'm as good as new. I feel fantastic, and I actually can do anything I could ever do. I'm still in the process, process of getting my bag. They were right. It's a 2-year gig to get everything back. You know, when I got out of the hospital, I was, 43 pounds lighter. I couldn't walk. I had no memory. I had no memory at all, and it literally took a year for me to get back where I was feeling normal. And then the second operation took, and I don't have the stoma anymore, which was which I clearly would take as opposed to the opposite. But it was a nightmare to maintain and take care of. If you guys are familiar with that, but it worked out. It took 10 days for it to kick in, so I was in the hospital 10 more days. But I just, it's like the airplane crash. Why me? I lived, and I'm through it. And I can say this. A lot of people, I think, realize that see me in a moment 3 years. I'm very humbled by it. It taught me a lesson, and, I had to put the brakes on, and I did, really put the brakes on. So, because I was still drinking and having fun and like I was 35 years old, because I've been fortunate enough not to have the injuries, the hip replacements, knee replacements, shoulder, et cetera, neck injuries that, cause guys major problems. And I feel like $1 million, and I was acting like that and drinking and raising hell, but still having fun. And it took something like that to, to ground me a little bit. Actually ground me a lot. So I still feel, I have those urges, but it's under control, if that makes sense. I know my limitations.
Well, want you to celebrate on Monday night, because it is going to be a big celebration and the surprise.
Oh, yeah. Every day is a celebration. Trust me, guys. When I was 24 years old, a wrestler that I met when I first went to Charlotte told me, we were out one night, he and I and Andre the Giant, and he said to me, if you live to be 30, you'll be overstaying your welcome. So that's how hard I was running back when I was 24. You could only imagine when I started making some money. That was on $100 a week.
Right, on $100 a week, wow.
Well, then I went to spending $1,000 a night in Buckhead for 20 years.
Damn. Yeah, that wasn't anything. Rick, we do appreciate Monday night at WWE.
Rick, come on out Monday night. We'll have a great time.
Yeah, it'll be a great time. Come on out to State Farm Arena for WWE Raw and the 70th birthday celebration of the great nature boy, Ric Flair. Next up, we'll talk a little college basketball. Deshaun Tate going to get him in here, give us his take, our college basketball expert, on what it means for Zion Williamson and all the other high school players that are now out there thinking of coming up, that the NBA may change its rule and let high school players back into the league.
Basketball is gone! Baseball is back.
Get exclusive Braves coverage here
as we take you live to Braves spring training in Florida with our broadcast team of Brian Jordan, Joe Patrick, and more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is Tate's Take with Deshaun Tate, featuring NCAA college basketball on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, a lot of people were very disappointed they spent $3,000, or I'm not even sure how much they spent total. Some people spent $10,000.
Somebody spent 10 stacks. You'll see Zion not play for 36 seconds.
Welcome back to the morning show. Deshaun Tate at Tate's Take Sports is our college basketball expert, and he joins us in the studio. A couple of things to get to with college basketball as we wind our way in just about less than a week now to March, and March Madness will officially begin. I guess Deshaun will just jump right into it. I mean, what is your kind of take? What's Tate's take on what took place between Duke and North Carolina?
One thing that I don't think a lot of people, when you're talking about this whole Zion Williamson thing, is the fact that Zion Williamson has not had a full healthy season from start to finish in basketball since his sophomore year of high school.
Mm.
I think they've all been knee injuries too, if I'm not mistaken. I know the last 2 years have. However, in terms of the game, Carolina went out there and did what Carolina does. Still a rivalry game at the end of the day. I already felt that 9 to 10 points on the spread was already too much. And Carolina likes to get on run. They like to get on transition, just like Duke. Duke hasn't played a team like that yet. Talking about the two best rebounding teams in the country and two of the top five scoring teams in the country as well. And Carolina did what they were supposed to go out there and do, especially if you don't have a Zion.
You know, they won by, I think it was 18, if I'm not mistaken.
16.
16, excuse me. They won by 16. Is that more indicative of how, you know, Duke was a little bit shook behind the fact that Zion was out, or is Carolina that much better?
Well, I don't think Carolina's that much better. I mean, Carolina probably felt really disrespected coming into this game anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some of it does have some to do with the fact that, you know, Duke was a little shook up after not having Zion. And realistically, what does this do for Duke moving forward, regardless of whether Zion plays and is healthy or not? When it comes down to the NCAA tournament, they have no seniors on this team. They have a really young roster. I can't remember a national championship team that won without a single senior on the roster. That being said, for other teams going into March or whatever, you know, you're looking at this thing like, we know how to beat Duke. You get Zion Williamson, who loves to block shots, number one shot blocking team in the country. You get him into foul trouble. Now we know how to play them. It's kind of like a recipe for success if you're the opposition a little bit.
If you're Zion Williamson. Sure. I know you know they said it's a mild sprain, he's day-to-day, and there's a possibility that he's going to come back. Do you finish out this season at Duke, or do you just go ahead and just wrap it up and say, you know, I'm getting ready for the NBA draft, in your guesstimation?
If I'm him?
Yes.
I'm sitting. If I have those people around me that are having these conversations with me about how this is actually a business going into the next level, I'm not going to be the person that, or with the knee injuries, like I told you in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
that have already been, you know, pre-existing, I'm not going to be the guy that's going to go out there and blow the knee, and the next thing that you know, I'm bagging groceries at the local supermarket. No disrespect to the people that are doing that. But realistically, I'm just not willing to take that chance if I'm him. And I personally feel like if he decides to make that decision, I think that Coach K should back that, even though he probably wouldn't. I feel like the teammates should definitely back him in that situation. Let's not forget, this was a similar situation, maybe not as much with an injury. Well, DeJuan Wagner, who scored 100 points in a game at one point under Coach Calipari at Memphis, or he did that when he was in high school, but he played under Coach Cal at Memphis, and he was talking about coming back for the next season. And Coach Cal told him, you're not coming back. And to make sure you're not coming back, if you try and come back, you're not playing next year. I'm kicking you off the team. You go and you make that money. Needless to say, he goes on, he gets drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers, and then he comes down with an injury, and the next thing you know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, if I'm him, I'm just not willing to take that kind of chance. You can call it, you know, one thing about Zion, I will say this. He's probably the most competitive guy that there is in all of college basketball. He wants to win a national championship. He wants to give Coach K his sixth national title. So I think that not only that he will come back and play, I think that's just one thing that's going to happen. He's going to play again, and it's going to be in a Duke uniform.
DeShawn Tate is our college basketball expert. He's on Twitter at Tate's Take Sports. Hey, so – and a couple other things that we want to get into. Was Tennessee exposed by Kentucky?
I think they were, but I think they were due for a loss too. They had squeaked out some games, even though they went on like a 19-game win streak. Tennessee had squeaked out some games in that duration. And Kentucky was, you know, they had the poise, and I really believe, especially coming off of a loss to LSU, it kind of set it up to be that much more sweeter to knock off the number one team in the country, which that's what you're supposed to do. You are Kentucky. You are the blue blood, the more superior team and program, especially within that conference, one of the best in the country. And they did what they were supposed to do, and they knocked them off. And I would have been really surprised if that did not happen, especially when you're playing at home at Rupp Arena.
Yeah, we're talking college basketball. Three of the top eight teams in the nation in the coaches' polls are mid-majors. Gonzaga, even without Tilly, Nevada, and Houston. And Kelvin Sampson's Houston team is 25-1.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Musselman's Nevada team is 24-1. Is this going to be a year, as we approach March and people really start to lock in on it, pay attention to the mid-majors?
Absolutely. I think this would more likely be a year for the mid-majors. You have some really good ones out there. I know in the OVC, this is, you know, I tell people this all the time. I have this cliche. Hey, it's a free space on a bingo card. This is your free space on the bingo card yet again. Lipscomb and the OVC in the Ohio Valley Conference, Lipscomb and Liberty are two really good teams that can potentially be playing for, you know, maybe a 13 seed. I wouldn't have any doubts in the world that they can knock off a 4. Maybe if they can even get a 12 seed, that infamous 5-12 matchup in the tournament. I think that those are just two teams that are within the mid-majors that can be good. But at the end of the day, I don't really see a – and this is the best part about March Madness, so much unpredictability. You don't really know who's going to win this thing. There's no clear-cut front runner, especially with the Zion Williamson injury. Even without the Zion injury, there's still no clear-cut number one. In all these other sports, you can kind of figure, okay, well, the Patriots, you know, they might find a way to get there. Or Alabama football, they'll probably find a way to get there, Clemson or whomever. You know, same thing in the NBA, Golden State Warriors and whatever team LeBron James is playing on, you know, to get to the finals. You don't know that about college basketball. You don't have the idea, and that's why I think people need to embrace the college basketball and everything that's going on within it, because it's so unpredictable and it's the best 3 weeks in sports.
Yeah, you talk about being unpredictable and don't know what's going on. Coach Boeheim had an issue, and I know Syracuse is not in the top 25, but what does this mean for Syracuse moving forward with their coach going through something that's probably going to, you know, he's going to have to deal with for the rest of the season?
I think it's unfortunate. It's something that I don't know how he's going to approach a game, but he's got a really important one coming up in a rematch where Duke is going to be furious, because that was the second of three of Duke's losses. And you know, Duke is going to be one of those teams that's going to be coming out, and they're going to be looking for some revenge with or without Zion again. And Syracuse, one of those teams that, you know, they don't always play the best. You don't know what kind of, you know, team in Syracuse that you're going to get. They're either going to be a team that's going to come out and they can't miss, or they're going to be a team that comes out and they can't, you know, make a shot. They can't throw a rock into an ocean. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, the mentality of the team coming straight fresh off of the situation that happened. Very unfortunate situation with Jim Boeheim.
No, you know, your guy John Morant is really
my guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that was my guy. But
well, he made him your guy because we talked about him one day.
Because you were talking about mid-majors, I was thinking about Murray State's on a roll. And
yeah, they are.
Yeah, and they got problems. Belmont's got a good team.
Belmont, there you go. Yeah. I was going to say that exact same thing. I think Belmont is the team in that conference, and John Morant, that he's good. He's a good college player, but he's not the team. And he showed me a lot when they played in a nationally televised game. You don't get many of those at Murray State. And showed me a lot when the light shined brightest against Belmont on a national stage and didn't come and show exactly what we all thought that we might see. Now, I don't know what he's going to do for the duration of the, you know, of the season and up through the tournament. They get in or whatnot. But I think Belmont is that team for that conference.
Yeah, is being hot right now critically important? Let me give you a team that's hot. Florida State.
Okay.
Florida State's red hot right now. I don't know what they won, 8-9 in a row or something like that. And they've been beating big teams and been very impressive. Is that important right now, not just for the selection committee, but for, you know, your hopes to advance to the Final Four? Or is it peaking too early?
For a team like Florida State?
Yep.
I don't think it's peaking too early, because this is a team that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, went to the Elite Eight and then lost.
Right.
So they have the experience, they have the athletes, they have the players, they have guards, they have bigs. A guy on the team, starter, he's like 7'3", and he's going to propose some matchup problems for a lot of different teams. But I don't think Florida State is really the disciplined team that I like, that I think needs to, that has what it takes, rather, to make a deep run in terms of getting all the way to a Final Four.
What about Gonzaga? You know, we talk about Gonzaga all the time. Is it safe to say that Gonzaga ain't the team that sneaks up on everybody anymore? Like, they're kind of one of those teams that are here to stay.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Gonzaga's one of, anytime you have a team that can beat Duke, you know, anything can happen, especially in March Madness. Anything can happen. But Gonzaga now has, ever since they go to the national championship game 2 years ago, now they have the big fat target on their back, and now they become the hunted instead of the hunter. And that changes things up a little bit. But Gonzaga's going to be right there. And one thing that could potentially hurt them is the fact that they haven't played a tough team since the regulars, you know, since the non-conference play. So we'll see.
Cool. Deshaun, it's always a pleasure. Where can people find
you?
You
the man.
At Tate's Take Sports. TateStake Sports. Zion, sit your butt down and go make you some money.
You see, talking about making money. You see, Deshaun dressed different now since he's making that basketball money. He wearing them nice swanky clothes.
He's a stylist.
He got a stylist. That's what it is.
A stylist.
Let me find out they paying him like that around these
they
parts.
They told me he's coming in to be with the morning show, so I figured, man, you know, I better come with it.
We dress like we looking for jumper cables or something. We dress like
but y'all making big money. You can do that. I'm not in that spot yet.
I don't know about all that, though. I don't know about that.
Well, with that, thank you, Deshaun Tate. And I'll certainly be retweeting a lot of his stuff, because it's good stuff. And you're going to really enjoy what he has to say. You're going to be your expert in March. All right. It is going to be a question for you, and that is, how much are you willing to kick out to buy a new phone or new shoes? Because I'm curious. That's next with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9
The Game. 92.9
The Game. Morning show on a Friday with John and you on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Man, there's some big ticket items. Everybody made a big to-do this week out of the new Samsung foldable.
Spit it out!
Foldable phone, which
spit it out.
I have to say I thought was pretty cool.
Man, listen.
But at $2,000, it was like a little too much.
I complain about the fact that my phone, the one that I have, is about a stack. I'm not giving them another stack just to fold my phone and to be the first kid on the block to have a tablet in my pocket. I'm not going to do that. I mean, I can't do it. I can't imagine. There is nothing that phone could do for me that would make me give $2,000 for a phone. Nothing.
Right. I just carry my iPad around. I mean, if I want a tablet.
You can't fold your iPad, though.
Nope, can't fold it.
It looked pretty sweet. The only way I would get that phone, and I am not condoning this, I'm just saying, if I was in Philadelphia and it fell off the truck and I had some of my friends I'm not condoning this type of behavior here in Atlanta, because I know, you know, in Atlanta we don't, you know, somebody that worked for Samsung probably will be all up in their feelings and write a letter about how I'm condoning, you know, stuff falling off the truck. So I'm not saying that.
It's a good thing you didn't say this before you went to the Hall of Fame. They probably wouldn't have put you in.
Hey, man, listen. I'm just being honest. Like, you still, I know, and you probably don't have, like shady friends like this. Well, shady, well, nefarious friends that will come by, the 18 where I'm going with this, and they might have some slightly, you know,
used
the barbershop crew.
Yeah, thank you. At the barbershop, they might have some Xboxes. Or some TVs that might have a little corner damage, that they still in the box. They just got the box is a little damaged.
John, he said corner damage.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? Little
damage. I know what he means.
Little damage. That you know, you know. Hey,
they when it falls off the truck.
Yeah, just you know.
I get it.
They might have. I would procure a few.
Right, and I would be way too worried about this phone to have it swiped. You know, I've got like what is this, Hugh? Do you, I think I've got a 7. I think that's what I have. I don't know what you have.
I got the latest one, and guess what? I did this Monday. I dropped it and cracked the screen.
Oh, there you go.
And guess what? I'm going to ride this cracked screen for at least
an upgrade. Somebody's going to buy this $2,000 phone and crack the screen within a day.
Stand there and cry.
Right,
well,
exactly.
I think the good part about that one is, I don't know because I don't own a Samsung, but I think they're kind of shock absorbent a little bit better than the iPhone. And plus it folds, so I'm thinking that the back of the phone kind of protects the screen a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. You don't have a cover to that phone?
No, I don't. I don't.
How in this day and age?
Because I got nice. I'm nice with my hands, but evidently I'm not that nice because I broke it.
Okay,
I cracked
fumbles.
It.
Yeah, yeah. But, and then there's that $3,000 shoe that LeBron's putting out there, right?
LeBron has a $3,000 shoe.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that one. What's it called?
LeBron 14 out of nowhere. LeBron 14 sneakers, and the sneakerhead in Daryl. I guess maybe it's $2,000. LeBron 14 sneakers. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, am I missing? You know this, Daryl. I mean, this isn't some. I don't know. What is this? How do you spend that? I've seen a $3,000 pair of shoes once. I was at Needless Markup with my ex-wife, and she was a high-ender, okay? And so we're at Needless Markup. She's trying on these shoes, and I'm like, how much are those? She goes, oh, they're $3,000. They're such and such and such a designer. I'm like, well, who in their right mind spends $3,000 on a pair of shoes?
I will say this. You live once, and if that's what you want to spend your money on, no one should be able to do that. But I would say if you're not investing, if they're not some type of investment, I would carefully think about that.
I'll tell you what. If I'm going to spend damn $2,000 on a pair of shoes, they better massage my feet with every step.
They're not massaging your feet with every step.
Well, you know what? They'll be at the store. As a matter of fact, I was looking at these Nike, something came across my Twitter feed where they were talking about these Nike, Nike sales took a dip yesterday, and they rolled out these shoes. It's two pair. The one pair that you found, Daryl, was the $400 pair, but they got a pair of, they're called Nike Hyper Adapts. They're the Nike Adapt shoes.
Yes.
And they are the shoes where you could put them on and you don't have to tie them, because there's an app that you put on your phone that will tie your shoes for you. Now, like I said, that's cool and all, because I don't like to tie my shoes. I've gotten to the point now where I'll slip my shoes on even if they're tied at this age. I'm slipping them on. And every pair of shoes that I get from now on will be a pair that I can just slip on my feet for the most part.
That is pure laziness.
No, it's pure. It's pure. I have earned the right as an American,
and by the way,
not to have to tie my shoes.
Hey, so you know, I do that too. I don't know. I have these sneakers.
I see you pointing at me, AT. What I do?
I don't think I've ever retied my sneakers for the first time.
I'm saying you're right. That is the ultimate in laziness.
No, it's not lazy. That's like, dude, I don't feel like
time efficient.
Listen, I work time efficient. I come to work on most days. At 5 o'clock.
Hey, on that was pretty days. Good, you. I'll give
on
you,
most
I'm
days.
I'll give you credit for that.
Yeah, because he know that wound is still fresh.
No, because somebody might open the door and look at me and give me the side eye.
He's already got the door cracked looking now.
I'm just saying. So it's like to slide on my shoes, that's and I go even further. I don't even wear, like, tube socks. I wear dress socks with my shoes because I want the ultimate in comfort.
You wear church socks
yes,
and shoes.
Yes, I do. You I am that guy. I'm wearing church
now,
socks with
I
my shoes.
That I don't do. I mean,
hey, you don't know what you're missing, John Frickin. Arthur Trish, Daryl Ashurst. Y'all don't know what y'all missing.
Hold on. I'm finna show you something.
You got on some church socks, too? Yeah, you got on church socks. Hey, I respect that.
And knee dude. Highs.
Yeah, he got some. Hey, he got on them thigh highs.
But see, the problem with those
Seahawk colors.
The problem with those is once you get to be my age, is everybody thinks they're like the old people socks. You know,
yes.
You know those
compression socks.
No, just don't wear the pantyhose socks that your grandfather used to wear with the dress shoes. Right. Don't do that with the shorts. Don't do that.
You know the socks that you used to have to like hike up and put a you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, like some kind of a
with the little garment
garter belt kind of thing. Yeah, that thing. Yeah.
Yeah, man. But these Nike shoes, they're called the Nike Hyper Adapt. The ones I'm talking about, the 1.0s, that are like $2,000, and they tie themselves. I'm still, and then you can use your app. Still not giving them my bread. Can't have it. That's tuition.
I guess I'll call up Joe Johnson. Hey, Joe.
Hey, give me a pair.
You know Joe's gonna get them.
Rick and John, top of the hour on a very busy, interesting Friday on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.